Well, welcome everyone to the Women's Wednesday Night Bible Study. I'm looking at my computer, but the mic is to the right. To the right is also Ann. Welcome, Ann.
Hi, everyone.
And in the Northeast, in Vermont, are Megan and Karen. Hello, ladies.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, everybody.
How are you all?
I'm doing well. The weather's been kind of nice the last couple of days.
Good. I'm going to assume Megan's silence is she's doing well, too.
Yes, I'm doing fine, too. Thank you. Same sort of weather, with a rain in the middle of nowhere, which was pleasant.
Good.
It's gone away now, which is likewise pleasant. There's a time for both.
Yes.
That's true.
Well, we're continuing in Romans, and we have a few verses remaining in chapter 3. Before we move into chapter 4 tonight. So, Karen, if you would pick up and read starting at verse 28.
Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law.
And this, of course, comes at the end of his dissertation or explanation, really directed to the Jews who had come to Rome and were now trying to teach the law to Gentile believers.
Yes.
And he goes through, and he's going to continue in chapter 4 here, showing what righteousness really is and what the purpose of the law is and was, and that is that it is a schoolmaster to show us our sin, show us our need for a Savior. Now, of course, Gentiles didn't have the law, though many were aware of the law. There were many who studied the Jewish scriptures, which we know as the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
but its sole purpose was to lay bare and lay plain the need for the promised sacrifice, which was also a part of the law, that type and shadow of the Lamb of God they sacrificed every year.
That's right.
Looking towards that ultimate sacrifice that would take away the sin. And so, because you're not justified by the law, then Paul says, is he the God of the Jews only? No, he's the God of both. And we know in Scripture, and I was thinking about this, and I came up with something that I thought was a great example, because we know that Abraham was called before the law. We know Rahab was a prostitute in Jericho who married the head of the tribe of Judah and is in King David's lineage. We know Ruth was a Moabitess. These all people became Jews. We know Uriah, who was David's faithful friend, and he warred with David. He was not a Jew, and is honored by God himself in Jesus' genealogy because of his faith. God had the two sides, Mary and Joseph, come through Bathsheba, his wife, in Jesus' lineage. But the one that I thought of today where you see that God is the God of the Gentiles also was Nineveh.
Yeah.
God sent a Jewish prophet, Jonas, to Nineveh to tell him he was going to destroy them because of their sin. And Nineveh repented, and God forgave them. And isn't that what salvation is?
Amen.
So, it was not a Jewish city. But when it goes down here where it says, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision, or the Jews, by faith, you know, the whole Old Testament and the testimony of Abraham was that he believed God would do what he promised. and send that perfect sacrifice. And so it was by faith for the Jews. Gentiles, this came after Christ, after his death and resurrection. And it is now through the faith of Jesus Christ that we are saved. There was a switch made. Until Jesus came, one hoped and trusted God for that sacrifice. Once he came and laid down his life and was resurrected from the dead, we now look back knowing it has been done and that it was sufficient.
Amen.
And is sufficient. So we don't make void the law, because the law serves its purpose, which is really that it shows the righteousness of God, and that righteousness was displayed through Jesus Christ, and it shows the unrighteousness in need of man, the whole purpose of the law. Do you have anything?
No.
Megan or Karen?
Nope.
So, Megan, do you want to pick up and start reading on verse 1 of chapter 7?
Sure. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness.
Okay, you can stop there for a moment. So, you know, this whole thing was the dissertation to the Jews against the law as something, by the means by which man can be saved. Mm-hmm. It's solely the blood of the Lamb that was sacrificed on that cross. And then he goes right into Abraham, the father of the Jews, right? And it, actually, he's the father of all who believe. And he said, what did Abraham find? Pertaining to the flesh? Well, if Abraham depended upon his flesh, he would have somewhat to boast. There'd be something to boast about, but not before God, because he just would have fallen short like all the rest of us. He did fall short like all the rest of us. But Abraham was righteous, or righteousness was attributed unto him by God because he believed God. And what did he believe? If you go back and read in chapter 15 of Genesis, Abraham had just come from the, when he went and rescued Lot after a war between kings.
Okay.
And he had his servants come with him. And there was like 9 kings involved, 4 against 5 or something like that. A lot of kings and their people. And Abraham, with his servants, went and they got Lot back. And then the Lord comes to him, and Abraham asks him, you know, I don't have an heir. And Abraham isn't all that young at this point. He's traveled in the promised land. He went to the promised land because the Lord told him to go.
Right.
He promised it to Abraham. That's why we call it the promised land. And this is where God tells him that he will have a child of his own bowels. And Abraham believed him. And we're going to see how that worked out as we go down. It's also where Abraham, in that chapter, asked God, how will he know? And God had him put the sacrifice out.
Yeah.
And then God consumed it. He received it. And that's how Abraham knew. That was God's answer. It was simply that Abraham believed God, and his actions proved it. From the beginning of the story of Abraham to the end.
Yeah.
In fact, on that point, when God called out Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, it was when Abraham went to slay his son, literally, with the knife coming down, that God said, now I know. And it's important to see that it wasn't just, oh, I believe you, God, and not doing. Abraham did what God said. And when the very most precious thing he did not withhold from God, but was obedient even in that. But Abraham knew that God would have to raise him from the dead. And Abraham said to Isaac in that, when they were going to make this sacrifice, and Isaac didn't know he was the sacrifice.
No.
Abraham said to Isaac when he asked him, I don't see the lamb for a sacrifice. And Abraham said, God shall provide himself a lamb for a sacrifice. And he was not hesitant in his obedience even to the slaying of his son.
And he showed his faith by his actions. Mm-hmm. Not just words, by actions.
And it wasn't legalism. It wasn't self-righteousness. It was obedience.
And it was his act of doing the faith and believing the Lord that is righteousness. Because that was what was counted as righteous.
Yes. Amen. So, Karen, if you pick up on verse 4.
Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that...
Go ahead.
But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness.
Okay. These are two beautiful scriptures. Somebody that is works righteousness, it's all debt, and that debt is never going to be paid off. Never. The end of that is destruction. But you notice in verse 5, but to him that worketh not, so they're not seeking to be reconciled to God or acceptable to God or through works and things they do in their flesh, but rather they believe on him. Now notice it says, they believe on him that justifieth the ungodly, and that's the basis of true faith in Christ, of the knowledge of the fact that we are ungodly, but that if we believe the sufficiency of the sacrifice he made on our behalf when he had his son go to that cross, then it is counted for righteousness for us. That's all he asks. So we take him at his word, and then, I mean, you know, we have the other side, like we were talking about with Abraham, where that which he says, we do. And we learn to do. But our righteousness is by faith in he who justifieth the ungodly. That's us. Verse 6, Megan.
Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin.
Okay. Now this is where David gives confession of something we got to understand. We all have iniquity, which is pride. We all have sin. God will impute sin to all who do not believe that which he sacrificed was and is sufficient. And we know that David pled for the mercy of God when he was at his lowest and received it and stood back up in it. And that was the testimony of David believing God. When you really get down to it, is when he went back and stood as king of Israel.
Right.
Certainly not a man righteous in his own flesh, no better than anyone else. He was better in this one thing, is that he, because of his faith that was absolute, he did the will of God, notwithstanding the insufficiency and sinfulness of his flesh. That was the the thing that made the difference between David and almost, you know, most everyone else,
mm-hmm.
is he stood because he believed and did and served God. And David was a great servant of Israel. And there were many who took occasion at his sin to reject him. And then by so doing, reject God too.
Yeah.
But blessed, and he stood in that place of blessedness. He understood it, valued it, and gave testimony to it. Megan?
Yes.
Anybody have something to add? Verse 9.
Is your mute on, Megan?
Yeah, my mouse is giving me grief. Verse 9. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision.
Okay, so here he and the Lord, and I think it's in chapter 17 of Genesis, takes him out before he's even had, before Sarah's even pregnant.
Uh-huh.
And he tells him that he's going to be the father of many nations. And he has him look to the stars in the heaven and all. And he was uncircumcised. He was uncircumcised up to this point.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before Isaac's birth, God then gave the sign of circumcision, which was the sign of that faith of Abraham. It was the fleshly sign of Abraham's faith. And all of his household was circumcised also.
Right.
And then it's, I think, in that same chapter where you see Sarah coming to find out that at the age of 90, past the time of women bearing children, she's going to bear a son to Abraham.
Right.
So we'll read a little about that as we go down. So when you look at the testimony of Abraham and the testimony of God, Abraham was accounted righteous. And before circumcision became the sign of that faith.
Mm-hmm.
So whether circumcised or uncircumcised, it's meaningless. It's the faith.
You know, if you haven't read in the Old Testament about Abraham, I would encourage everyone to go back and read his story. And you learn a lot from it, but he is used so much in the scriptures. We see it here. We see it in others. I know Hebrews 11. You can learn a lot from Abraham. So go back and read that.
And he was before the law, so there was... Well, if you stop and think, I mean, think of David. There's no testimony of David keeping the law.
No.
There's only testimony of David serving God and doing what he said by faith.
And then we also have the testimony of when David sinned, and God said he was transparent before him. He never hid from his sin. He didn't try to justify it. He just said, God, I sinned against you. So that was another lesson to learn from David.
He didn't justify it before the people either.
No.
Alrighty, so...
I forgot where we were.
I think that it down through 10 was read, Megan. Am I correct?
Yes.
So, Karen, would you pick up on 11?
And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had yet being yet uncircumcised.
Which he had being yet uncircumcised.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. So see here is really what we talked about. He received that sign of circumcision, which is a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he already had. Mm-hmm. It didn't add to his faith. It didn't change his faith. It was the seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised. Why? So that he could be the father of both the circumcised and the uncircumcised. And it says down there in 12, but who also walk in the steps of that faith, and this is what we've been talking about, of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. Circumcision doesn't reconcile you to God. Doesn't even stand you out before the Lord. It's faith that causes you to stand out and be seen and recognized by God. Faith, not just how you want to decide he wants it to be, but faith in what he actually says.
And Abraham's our example. He was considered righteous before he was circumcised. Use our example and our promise.
Amen. So, Megan.
Yes, ma'am. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which were of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression.
Okay. So, as I was saying before, the promise that he'd be heir of the world, that was made not to Abraham through the law. The law was given under Moses hundreds of years later, but through faith. Abraham believed God. In fact, if you go back and read it, God gave that land to Abraham and his seed as an eternal covenant. And if you stop and think, thousands of years after Israel was no longer, it was brought back in the 1940s.
1948.
And still stands. It's an everlasting covenant that God made with Abraham. Everlasting means it is still in effect.
Amen.
And man is still trying to fight to take it away from that covenant that the Lord established. They're still trying to eradicate it, and they have not been able to.
No.
And they will not, because it is his promise.
Yes, and we know that the end of all such won't be a pretty picture. Hasn't been manifest yet where, but in that day it shall be. And then he says, for if the heirs were by the law, faith would be made void in the promise which came before the law and was a promise received by faith. It'd be null and void. It would have no effect.
Yeah.
It never changed. Just because the law entered in did not change the promise.
No. Because the promise was of faith and not of the law.
Right. So when it says, because the law worketh wrath, and then it says, for where no law is, there is no transgression. If you look back at Adam, sin was not yet in the world. It wasn't imputed unto anyone. No one in the world, everybody was free. I don't know what they did or didn't do, and I can't judge it because I don't see in the Word where it says it. But there was one man to whom one commandment was given, law. And there was, because he had that, he also knew what the judgment would be if he broke it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing where it says, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Until a commandment came, you couldn't transgress it. It was given to Adam. Adam disobeyed it, and death and sin came upon the earth because of that. Because Adam had the commandment. Whether the people out in the world at the time were doing things that we now know to be sin or not, didn't matter. There was only one who had a commandment. So the law bringeth wrath. because we break the law, and there is a punishment on the other side of that. But faith brings forgiveness, Amen. Forbearance, love, mercy, grace.
Amen.
And I think it's Karen's turn, verse 16.
Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were.
Okay. So here you see Paul conclude that it is therefore of faith, that it might be by grace. What is grace? It's unmerited favor, meaning it is undeserved. It covers sin.
Amen.
God had a perfect plan. He just did. He made a way for people like us who fall short and had no other way. He made it simply and solely by a sacrifice. A beautiful thing. And what does it say? Not to them, to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham. Now you have to understand that even those under the law, it was the same gospel by which they were saved. Which is what we were saying about David. You didn't see him. You didn't see him as a legalist or somebody that you saw all of his actions in obedience to the law. What you saw was a man who was in obedience to God, which is exactly what we're supposed to be.
And he believed God.
And he believed God. The law showed him his need, but he accepted his need and accepted the promise and then obeyed God. And here you see where he says that Abraham's the father of us all, be it the circumcision or the uncircumcision, the Jew or the Gentile. And then in verse 17, you have the Old Testament scripture where God told him he made him a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, God, who quickeneth the dead. And we're going to see what that means, because Abraham was like 100 years old when Isaac was born.
Yeah.
And Sarah was 90 or 91.
She was 90.
90, okay. I mean, Sarah's womb was dead. God quickeneth the dead. Abraham offered Isaac. And in Hebrews, it tells us that in a manner he received him back from the dead. He didn't actually, Isaac didn't die, but whether he did or he didn't, Isaac was going to live. And Abraham, in a manner, received him back from the dead. He had already, Abraham was set.
Yeah, he was set.
So, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. So, picking up on 18, Megan.
One example thereof, calling things that be not as though they are, is the creation. Let there be, and there was.
Amen.
18?
Yes.
Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform.
That is an amazing thing. When you stop and think how much we are beset by things of the world and what we see. And here a man who had walked decades in service to the Lord and in obedience to the Lord. He staggered not. He was immovable. He wasn't weak-kneed. even to the fact that at this late hour in his and Sarah's life, most particularly Sarah's, he did not, that didn't move him. He believed God was able to perform that which he said, even though everything in the natural said it was impossible. Period. That's the picture of faith.
Amen.
You see, there neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He was aware of that.
Yeah.
Sarah couldn't have children.
She'd never had one before.
And she was now past, I mean, her womb was dead. It couldn't have a child.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it did. And hope is confidence. Faith, hope, and expectation. Can you imagine walking in the expectation of that which God said he would do? We talk about the joy of the Lord is our strength. Is not that what that means?
And how much your flesh is, fights against that. You know, here Sarah was 90. Her womb was dead. And God had said she's going to have a child. Can you imagine the fight she had to go through to continue to believe? Or that Abraham was able to continue to believe, even though everything in the flesh, in the natural, said there's no way it could happen.
Yeah.
And they continued to believe God for it.
Yeah, and if you wanted to look up the testimony of Sarah in Hebrews 11, which you're speaking of, but, you know, and the other thing about Abraham, when you look at him, because we look so narrowly at our lives and at our days and at the upturnings and downturnings, this is a man that walked in enemy territory, had his wife say she was his sister because he knew that people would kill him for her because she was beautiful. This is a man that was what his life contained. He put down his tents, he'd take up his tents. And he just traveled and he served the Lord. And he trusted God. He did what he said. He went and got Lot. He was a just master over his servants. He was a just uncle to Lot.
Mm-hmm.
And all this time he did it. And if you think about it and how we live our lives, we're humbled by the testimony of a man who did this. Our lives are easy in comparison. We live in amongst friends, even though we may be in enemy territory. I mean, Ann and I are friends. Karen and Megan are friends. We're not enemies. We don't have to worry one about another. Abraham was singular in many ways.
Yeah.
And he had a wife that joined with him in that faith.
And the scripture in Hebrews 11, it's verse 11, says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised.
And Sarah stood in faith herself, and because of that she was delivered of a child at her age. And you know that judging him faithful, you know how God says, try me?
Yep.
And find out. Well, these people had done so and found out.
Yeah.
And they didn't take that lightly.
No.
No, and it says that he, against hope, he believed in hope. Everything with his natural eyes was hopeless, was not in fulfillment of the Lord's promise. And yet, despite that, he put that aside, and he chose yet to hope and to believe. Unstaggering, what was the word? Unstaggereth not, right? He staggered not. Without wavering, he believed in the Lord, because the Lord said it would be so. And he, no matter what he saw, which testified probably, you know, fairly loudly to him, that this wasn't so and wasn't going to be so, and the time went on without the promise coming to pass of Isaac, and but he hoped anyway.
Well, and I apologize, go ahead.
That was kind of, that was it. He believed in hope. In hope he chose to continue to believe.
was going to say, you know, he actually said that to God. That was chapter 15. You know, he said, I don't have a... my inheritor is this Eleazar, a servant in my house. So it's not that that didn't come up to him, but he brought it before the Lord, and the Lord gave him an answer, you see. And he believed God. That's where it said he believed in God, and it was imputed, counted unto him as righteousness. He believed it. It's somewhat mind-boggling in its simplicity. And then he went on, as you said, Megan, for another decade or two before that child ever came. And then another decade or maybe close to two, he's now asked to go sacrifice that child. And without hesitation, did. That's what God is calling us to do. And I looked up stagger. Stagger means to hesitate. To waver, to stagger, you know, like a drunk would stagger. He didn't do any of that. That's the testimony of faith. That's what faith looks like. And what did it do? It gave glory to God. Because you know what? There were a lot of naysayers standing around. Mm-hmm. And there were naysayers on the other side of that. Hagar being one of them. Mm-hmm. Okay, so
22.
Yeah. He was fully persuaded. That means 100% completely.
He had no doubt whatsoever.
So picking up on 22, Megan? I think.
Okay. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification.
Okay. So the story of Abraham, even as we've been talking, is there for us to see and follow.
It's an example for us.
It's an example. It's part of that great cloud of witnesses. Mm-hmm. That Hebrews 12 speaks of. And this is really the conclusion of this, where Paul is establishing that it is solely by faith in what it is also, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, even as it was to Abraham, if, and that's the word if, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord, Lord being master, the boss man, from the dead. And then he goes, who was delivered for what? Our offenses.
You know, when you talk about Lord, a lot of people, they can very joyfully accept the fact that he's our Savior, but they have a hard time with him being our Lord. Because that means he's our master. He is in control. He's in control of our lives, and we our only option is to obey him.
We actually are in control of our lives.
Yeah.
But we have the option through that blood where we've been reconciled and reconnected.
That's right,
to
yeah.
Choose him and come into obedience, which is exactly what Abraham did.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, we then give up our lives for him. But it's our choice. It's not one he ever makes for us. And you can see where the great cloud of witnesses, including the Apostle Paul, who this same righteousness was imputed to, not by the law, which he counted as dung, but by the faith of Christ Jesus, his Lord, who was delivered for what? Our offenses, our sin. And was raised again for our justification. He was raised from the dead, having taken all that sin to hell with him. He overcame and was raised again, and that's our justification.
Amen.
Without that, neither could we be raised with him.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's the end of chapter 4. And you know, the thing about Abraham is he grew in that confidence through that obedience, because God always testified and was with him because of that. Mm-hmm. You can't have that confidence that is rightly placed and that faith that is unwavering outside of the walk of the Lordship of Jesus Christ in obedience to it. It cannot happen. It will not happen. It's all just vain philosophy.
That's right.
So, Vermont ladies, soon to be Texas ladies.
That is true. I don't have anything to add.
I say amen.
Well, thank you all for joining us, and we'll look forward to Chapter 5 next week. May the Lord bless you.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.